I'm Reverend Lisa Day, minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Welcome to our weekly radio program, where you'll hear a segment from one of our recent services recorded at our church on beautiful Troop Square. We invite you to join us Sundays at 11 a.m. in person or via live stream on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and more about Unitarian Universalism in Savannah at our website, uusavannah.org. We hope you enjoy today's program.
Good morning, and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. I'm Mary Garofalo, and I'll be serving as your worship associate today. Our minister, Reverend Lisa Day, is our worship leader this morning. Our guest pianist is David Rigsby. Our choir is on summer break, and we are currently seeking a new music director. Here at the UU Church of Savannah, we are working to build a diverse, multicultural, and beloved community. We celebrate the presence and participation of people of all races, genders, sexual orientations, abilities, and ethnic and national origins. We warmly welcome you on YouTube and on site, whoever you know yourself to be, and wherever you are on your journey. If you're visiting with us this morning and you would like to introduce yourself, please raise your hand and Tish, our usher, will come by with a microphone.
Hi, my name is Patty Whalen, and I've just moved to Savannah about a week ago. I'm from New Jersey, and I was a member of the Summit Congregation in New Jersey.
Welcome. It's good to have all of you with us. Please join us in Ron Hall for refreshments following the service. You'll find Ron Hall in the next building by following the crowd through these doors or our main doors and around the corner. Ask the ushers if you still feel a little lost. After the story for all ages and offering, we sing short responses. The lyrics to each are printed in order of service. Church announcements are emailed to members and friends on Tuesdays and Fridays. Check your email for complete details about the following. Next Sunday, September 7th, we'll engage in our water ceremony. Please plan to be here and to have a vial of water symbolic of your summer to contribute to our communal bowl. The UUCS community pool party will be held next Sunday from 6 to 8. And there are still spots for the celebrating of families. With the lighting of the chalice, symbol of our Unitarian Universalist faith, we enter into a sacred time. Our chalice lighter this morning is Patty Whalen. We come together every week, bound not by a creed or mutual desire to please one God or many gods, yet we are drawn together by a belief that how we are in the world, who and are together, matters. We light this chalice together in the knowledge that love, not fear, can change this world. Words by Jennifer Grayson.
Again, we ground ourselves here in our highest values.
Love is the center and foundation of this faith.
Love is the power that holds us together as a community.
As we enter into worship, then let us open our hearts to the healing power of liberating love.
Because love is not only something we receive, but something we practice in community.
Let fall away all that might distract us from the wholehearted practice of love.
Let us be accountable to one another for doing the work of living our shared values through the spiritual discipline of love.
As we continue to listen and learn, to act and grow,
may each unfold in wholeness.
by deeply loving and truly loved. Words by Sherry Woodbury.
Let us enter into a spirit of meditation. The words of meditation this morning are from the poet Jane Hirschfield. The promise. Stay, I said to the cut flowers. They bowed their heads lower. Stay, I said to the spider who fled. Stay, leaf. It reddened, embarrassed for me and itself. Stay, I said to my body. It sat as a dog does, obedient for a moment, soon starting to tremble. Stay to the earth of river and valley meadows, of fossiled escarpments of limestone and sandstone. It looked back with a changing expression in silence. Stay, I said to my loves. Each answered, always. Amen. Our first reading this morning by Conrad Wright, a Unitarian Universalist historian, is adapted from a sermon he delivered at First Parish in Cambridge in 1984. It references the third verse of the third chapter of the book of Amos. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Every denomination must have some way of understanding itself, some notion of what gives it its special identity. For Presbyterians, it has been the Westminster Confession. For Episcopalians, the Book of Common Prayer. For churches like ours, it is the covenant. Not the words of any particular covenant, but the covenantal relationship of mutual obligation. But unlike the Westminster Confession, which is an historical document, or the prayer book, which does not get revised very often, the congregational covenant must be renewed continuously. That means inevitably that there is a special intensity in the search for consensus. Congregational polity allows and encourages people of varied perspectives to come together, but it also requires them to find some essential basis for agreement if they are to stay together. There is no assurance that that will happen. Every time a new member joins a Unitarian Universalist church, the perspective that must be accommodated are at least marginally affected. No wonder refugees from our congregations sometimes prefer churches of other traditions where the search for consensus is less demanding. In between the extremes of stultifying conformity on the one hand and of disintegrative diversity on the other, we labor to find a place. The consensus we share is created, sustained, and developed by persons who have chosen to walk together. We long ago rejected creedal tests for membership as a way to exclude those whose views are not quite in line with the doctrinal position prevailing among those already members. We have no mechanism by which an applicant for membership is examined or tested by some ecclesiastical authority to make sure that their opinions are acceptable. The boundary lines of our churches are drawn by individual choice, not by official judgment. There are risks involved, to be sure. Some who join us find that they are in the wrong pew and move on somewhere else. But there are others who find at last a place they belong. They are the ones whose individual perspectives may be added to enrich the consensus that helps to make a community out of a collection of unrelated individuals. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Yes and no. How much diversity a church can tolerate without losing its sense of direction is a delicate question, not to be decided by abstract analysis. But consensus does not have to mean conformity. Diversity need not mean surrender to the arrogance of those who insist that tolerance means that others must tolerate them, no matter how rigid or dogmatic they may be. There is much ground between these extremes. That is where we belong, seeking a way for ourselves, our children, and our children's children. Our second reading from recently retired Unitarian Universalist minister Kendall Gibbons. Our communities of memory and promise are founded upon covenants because we all need a defense against the impulse of immediate feelings that challenge our best intentions. It is necessary to be reminded from time to time of what you said you were going to do and what you really want over and above the lure of momentary comfort. Covenant is our word for the solemn promises that counteract the randomness of a future in which anything and everything is possible, by committing us in advance to certain relationships and values. We do this because what we build with intention, and even with difficulty, is more satisfying in the long run than the pleasures that we happen to encounter. We do it in time-consuming rituals, invoking powers that we scarcely know how to name, because we are seeking some way to give our lives the density and dignity and depth that we suspect with longing might yet be possible. Here end our readings. Pinky promise. Cross my heart and hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. That's a pie crust promise. Do you solemnly swear? Do you? I do. We make promises throughout our lives to family, friends, therapists, judges, spouses, neighbors, just about anyone with whom we enter relationships. Some of those promises are explicit and some are tacit, but no less real. On the day my daughter's adoption was finalized, the district court judge asked me under oath to acknowledge that she and I have the same rights and responsibilities toward and from one another as parents and children who become family through biological means rather than in a courtroom. Food, clothing, shelter, medical care, education, familial love and support, inheritance. I think about that moment in court often, not because there was any confusion in my mind and heart then or since about what it meant to become Lucia's mother, but because, to my knowledge, no one who attends the birth of an infant who will be raised by biological parents asks those parents to swear an oath of duty and care and inheritance. The expectation of those parents, of those promises, is there, but it's tacit rather than explicit, the way it is in an adoption hearing. Tacit promises are sometimes as ironclad as solemnly sworn courtroom promises, and sometimes they are pie crust promises, easily made and easily broken. That's a centuries-old formulation, by the way, not, I learned this week, first written for Mary Poppins by P.L. Travers, but back at least to the 17th century. It is sometimes true as well, unfortunately, that solemnly sworn promises may be easily broken. Still, on balance, there is benefit to explicit promises so that all parties know what they are offering and what they expect to receive, so they can hold themselves and one another accountable. When we make promises as kids, we sometimes call them pinky promises and seal them by crossing our heart. When we make promises during a wedding ceremony, we call them vows. When we make promises in a court of law, we call it swearing or affirming under oath. And when we talk about promises in a religious context, we call them covenants. Today, we are beginning to create a new explicit covenant as members of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. I'm asked sometimes, and perhaps you are too, if we Unitarian Universalists, and this church specifically, if we don't have a creed, if we believe all sorts of different things about God or don't believe in God at all, if our theologies range from humanist to non-Trinitarian Christianity with some pagans and Jews and Buddhists in the mix, if we're all this and then some, what holds us together as a denomination, as a congregation? In asking the question, the questioner is unwittingly echoing the ancient prophet's question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Often I reply that we are held together by our approach to matters of faith and the Spirit, by our common belief that there are many paths to truth, that we each must ultimately find our own way, and that it is wiser, safer, more fruitful to find our own ways in the company of others finding their own ways. That's an okay answer, but over the years I've come to realize that the deeper, truer answer is this. We are held together by our agreement, too often tacit, to take our individual journeys alongside one another. That's different from simply believing it's a good idea to do it together, because even if we believe it's wiser, safer, perhaps more fruitful to seek our own spiritual path alongside others doing the same, we could still choose to do it alone because it's more convenient to read or study on our own schedule, more spiritual somehow to pray or meditate on the water or in the mountains or forest. Lots of people do choose that more solitary, individualistic path, some with great satisfaction. Agreeing to walk together is important because without a covenant between and among members of the congregation, some who choose to begin their seeking as a member of the community for all the right reasons would even then, having made that choice, leave the congregation when the experience of community becomes complicated or when disagreements arise, theological, yes, but also financial or aesthetic or practical. And since the congregation really only exists as a congregation, an intentionally gathered group of individuals, the congregation is harmed by two easy departures, just as the persons leaving may have been harmed by the precipitating disagreement. Without the covenant, the explicit agreement to walk together, there is no possibility of repair, reconciliation, and new revelation for all parties. This may be the first time some of you have heard about a congregational covenant, either at all or in the context of this church. Others of you can probably still recite the covenant this congregation used to speak together each week. Love is the spirit of this church and service is its law. This is our great covenant to dwell together in peace, seek the truth and love, and help one another. Written by James Vela Blake in 1894, that covenant or adaptations of it have been part of the weekly worship of many Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist congregations over the years. Still fewer of you may remember that just over 25 years ago, this church adopted its own covenant. We, the members of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah, covenant to affirm and uphold the UU principles and purposes by building a faith community based on trust, embracing diversity, and supporting each other in our ongoing spiritual explorations in an environment that fosters truth, respect, and understanding. We will willingly give of our resources to maintain and expand our church and its activities. We will endeavor to set a positive example for the children through our thoughts, words, and actions and instruction while cherishing them as unique individuals. And we will inspire each other to take action to implement love and justice for all people, respecting the interdependent web of all life on earth. In the words of one of our past presidents, Joseph B. Serrano, that covenant was not treated as a living document. It was put aside and forgotten. During his term as president a few years ago, another past president, Martha Weaver, brought the forgotten covenant to Joseph's attention, and with board approval, a task force was appointed to shepherd the congregation through a fresh covenanting process. Unfortunately, the middle of a global pandemic that shifted most church activities online, followed by a period of ministerial transition, proved inhospitable to the completion of that covenanting process. With the approval of last year's Board of Trustees, I asked Paul Johnson, Danielle Alexander, and Tish Hamilton to join me on a new covenant task force. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to think about what we promise one another as members of this congregation. The task force will sort and assemble your thoughts, draft one or more potential covenants, present them to the congregation in a town hall type meeting sometime between now and the holidays, and then further refine and draft a single proposed covenant for adoption at a congregational meeting, likely our annual meeting in June. But before we get to that work, it is important for you to understand why we are undertaking this internal work at a point in time when many of us feel a desperate call to attend to external issues and crises of the current moment, what might be said to be calls to stop harm and heal the world rather than navel gaze. The work we begin today represents the desire of the past two boards to take up the unfinished work from 2021, because when leaders make commitments and then leave the work undone, even when times are extraordinary, as they were in 2021, trust in leaders, past, current, and future, wanes. This covenanting work will also provide an important foundation for the ongoing work of our Healthy Congregation team. The HCT, Dan Flaherty, Roxana Lester, Jane Hoffman, and Jacqueline Smallwood, was appointed by the 2023-2024 board and has been meeting regularly in the months since then, educating themselves and the board and creating a process and set of resources through which our congregation may strengthen our endeavor to walk together creatively, collaboratively, and with the assumption of our best goodwill toward one another and with the best interest of the entire congregation at heart. On September 21st, the HTC will share the pulpit with me, formally launching the initiative they have been so diligently working toward. Without an explicitly stated and universally understood agreement about why we gather as a congregation and how we shall walk together, without a covenant when disagreements or interpersonal conflicts arise, and they will, of all the types I mentioned before, we have no basis on which to call ourselves back into right relationship. As I said, the HTC has been engaged in resource and program development, utilizing materials from both within and beyond the Unitarian Universalist Association, and they will teach you, they will tell you much, much more about it in 3 weeks on September 21st and for several weeks after that. So for the time being, I'm going to ask you to sit with your questions and curiosity about that and turn your thoughts back to promises. On the Sundays, when we recognize new members, we say some nice words. The new members say, "We promise to support this church with our gifts of time, talent, and treasure as we welcome the gifts of relationship, acceptance, and justice that will hold us fast to the inevitable time, through the inevitable times of storms, challenge, and joy." And the existing members of the congregation respond, "May the words and acts of welcome renew our dedication and commitment to live in healthy community with one another. May we go forward with greater resolve to offer our gifts and talents in order to realize our vision for this church and its larger ministry." But these words aren't a formal covenant. We only say them one or maybe two Sundays a year, and lovely as they are, they don't really get to the heart of what it means to live in healthy community with one another, to walk together rather than walking away through week in and week out mundanity and sacredness of life, even and especially in times when the world beyond our doors cries so loudly for our attention. A covenant helps us keep our house in order, and anchored here, we equip ourselves to take up our part in tending to the world. I have all sorts of ideas about what makes a good covenant, what kind of language, gravitas versus ephemera, groundedness versus abstract, length or brevity, what matters have staying power and what matters are fleeting, or to use the language of 19th century Unitarian preacher Theodore Parker, what matters are permanent and what ones are transient. All sorts of ideas, but I'm only the minister. You are the congregation. Here before me and here after me. So please, over the next few moments, tell me, tell us, tell the task force on the cards you found in your order of service, what is it that you think you promise this congregation through your participation in it? What is it you think the congregation promises you? What is it you think we should promise one another? The ushers have more cards. They also have pencils if there's not one in the pew back in front of you. If you're worshiping on YouTube this morning or reading this later on Facebook, please email your promises to minister@uusavannah.org. If you're here in the sanctuary, you can leave your cards in the pew when you leave. We'll collect them later. Please take part in this exercise, whether you've signed our membership book or not. Everyone who gathers with us once or every week over decades brings expectations and promises. The Covenant Task Force needs all of them to inform the next stage of its work. If you have thoughts later this week or next week, please send them to me then. David's going to provide us with some writing music, and I'll call us back together with our chime in 3 or 4 minutes. Thank you. Retired Unitarian Universalist minister Victoria Safford has written that through the actions that grow out of our promises, we give our word. We send it out, and it carries our integrity, our fidelity, our faithfulness, our truth. Our word is still ours, but it calls back to us from the heart of another person or a circle of people within which it now dwells. Such a commitment does not predict the future or set it in stone. It makes a certain kind of future possible. thank you for your generous participation in this morning's start at crafting our covenant of explicit promises, and for your participation in the steps yet to come, as together we make a certain kind of future possible. Amen. Though our knowledge is incomplete, our truth partial, and our love imperfect, we believe that new light is ever waiting to break through individual hearts and minds, to enlighten the ways of women and men, that there is mutual strength in willing cooperation, and that the bonds of love keep open the gates of freedom. Amen.
This is Reverend Lisa Day. I hope you've enjoyed this program from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Please join us at one of our services sometime soon at our church on Troop Square or live on Zoom. We're the beacon of liberal religion in Savannah, and you can find out more at uusavannah.org. We meet on Sundays at 11 a.m. Thanks for listening.